A new novel by the writer Richard Russo tells the story of a man in a car. He's driving around with his father's ashes in the trunk. Can't quite bear to scatter them yet. When his mother dies, her ashes go in the trunk, too.
That, for me, is a symbolic rendering of the state that we all get to be in at if we're lucky enough to live long enough, when our parents are dead. In one sense, they're gone. In another sense, they're not very far away at all. You know, and I think that Jack Griffin, who continues to talk to his mother in the wheel well of his car, continues to do so because there are things about their lives that are as yet unresolved. And to a certain extent, we all drive around through what remains of our lives talking to our dead parents.
Richard Russo is known for novels like Empire Falls, tracing the lives of blue-collar families. This time around, he follows a writer-turned-professor who is constantly recalling scenes from his parents' failed marriage. The book is called That Old Cape Magic. And in it, that man named Jack Griffin returns to Cape Cod, the only spot where he remembers seeing his parents happy together. As his own marriage comes apart, he's drawn back to that place of sand dunes and fog and memory.
It really was a perfect setting for this book that I wanted to write because there's a weird mix of some parts of the Cape that are very well-to-do, and yet there are other parts of the Cape that seem to have a kind of frozen in amber quality that I particularly enjoyed. And since I knew that this was going to be a book about parents and children, some of that sense of what Cape Cod was like 20, 30, 40 years ago was still very much alive in some of the restaurants, I suspect, that were there a long
you're
time
thinking
ago.
About, you're and, thinking about the restaurant neon signs shaped like a lobster or the roadside motels, that sort of thing.
Yeah. A lot of that is still there.
Mm. When you talk about a person who cannot escape his past, the main character goes back repeatedly to a story of a boy that he met on the beach in Cape Cod when he was young.
Peter Browning.
And the main character, well, he's not sure what to call it, but he feels almost love for this other boy. What made you focus on that and made you keep coming back to it as you wrote the novel?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think what I was after was that he falls in love, Jack Griffin as a boy, falls in love not only in a kind of love with Peter Browning, but also the entire Browning family. And as an adult, when he wants to write about that, he tries to do in that story exactly what he has tried to do in his life, because in the first draft of the story, he fails to tell that story pretty completely. And when he reads it over, what he's written, and he gives it to his wife and he gives it to his old writing partner, and they all agree that it's really not a very good story, that the characters haven't come to life. And really, the only two characters who ring true are the protagonist's own father and mother, who kind of hijack the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to teach fiction writing, and the one thing that's very difficult for beginning writers to understand is that the deepest failures any fiction writer is likely to have are failures of not quite comprehending the truth of the story that he or she is telling. And I think that that's why Jack Griffin can't write this story, is that there's something about himself that he hasn't quite recognized.
Do you think that's true of us, even if we're not professional writers? We all have stories about ourselves that we tell ourselves or tell other people if someone will listen. Do you think we often miss the point of our own lives and our own stories?
I think we probably miss the point as often as we find it. There are stories, especially in a marriage, there are stories that a wife or a husband will tell over and over again. And if you're married, I've been married for 37 years, that means you get to hear the same story a certain number of times, you know, over the course of a long marriage. And these stories change. And sometimes people will ask you questions, and very often the questions that people ask you about a story that you tell repeatedly, the weak points, the little fractures in the story that suggest something wrong.
Yeah.
If you get the right questions, the story will shift, the story will change, and you'll understand something about why you've been telling this story all these years.
Mm.
One of the favorite parts of mine in this book is towards the end when Griffin is tending his mother in her final illness, and she begins to contradict his version of the past. And she, on her deathbed, in a really heroic struggle, is to reinterpret her life and to bring him on board. And in reinterpreting her own life is also trying to reinterpret his as well. And I think that, well, you know, memory is treacherous.
I wonder if I could get you to read a little bit from that old
Sure.
tape magic. This is at the end of the sequence, I believe, in which she is telling the story of her life and her son's life.
On Christmas morning, she asked if he remembered how, as a boy, he liked to crawl under the tree and look up at the lights. And later that afternoon, she said, "So, your marriage is ruined." And he said, yes, he supposed it was. After that, he remembered her saying only one other thing. "He'd be here," she assured him, smiling, "if he wasn't dead." Unlike so many of her smiles, this one was neither sly nor lewd. Beatific was more like it. And for that reason, he said, "I know, Mom. I know."
At the end there, his mother is having a pleasant memory of her husband, even though they had never gotten along.
Right.
When you write a novel full of unsuccessful marriages like this, is there ever a point that when your wife says, "Honey, is there something you want to tell me?"
Well, I will tell you this much. She sometimes goes with me on book tour. She really wanted to go on this particular book tour to reassure people that I was not writing about our marriage. So, throughout New England, at least, she is going to be there to correct whatever I say that would lead people to believe that the marriage that I'm writing about in that old Cape Magic is ours.
Well, Richard Russo, good luck on the book tour.
Thank you so much, Steve. I enjoyed talking with you.
And you can read an excerpt of That Old Cape Magic and get recommendations for beach books at the new NPR.org. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer.